Welcome to WISO Weekend, WISO's weekly radio magazine. I'm Jerry Kenny. On today's program, later we'll hear this week's reinvention story up first. On April 3rd, 1974, people in Xenia saw black smoke rising like a wall. And then the wall started turning in slow motion, and they knew what was coming. It was an F5 tornado. There were twisters all through Ohio and in other states. 148 were confirmed that day throughout the United States and Canada. The tornado that struck Xenia killed 32 people and injured over 1,000. Two National Guardsmen also died fighting a fire. Hundreds of homes were shredded into bits and downtown was demolished. As part of an oral history project, staffers from the Greene County Public Library interviewed people who were in Xenia that day. And this past week, WISO presented those voices in a series of reports from Community Voices producer Alan Steiger called Remembering the Xenia Tornado 40 Years Later. We bring you each of those stories today on WISO Weekend. We begin with Janine and Brian Montgomery, both young teachers living in Xenia.
Well, it was a Wednesday, so both of us were teaching. Our routine was that we had one car, so I would take Brian to school and drop him off, and then I would go to my school in Kettering, which was near Town and Country. All right, I picked up Brian, came home, let our dog out, and then we decided we wanted to get a pizza, so we went to the Pizza Hut. And we were sitting in a booth near the door, and it looked like a fire, according to my husband. My husband said it looks like Kroger's is on fire. So we went over to the window, which would be facing west, to look, and I said, no, it can't be a fire because you would see flames. It was a big, dark, swirling cloud. And of course, my interpretation of a tornado was the one that was on the Wizard of Oz movie. You know, that cyclone-looking thing. And I never dreamed that a tornado would look like that. Somebody said, that's a tornado. And so we all took off. And I think my husband would like to describe the next part.
As Janine said, we just assumed that it was a fire until we saw the debris. I had read, I think it was in a Reader's Digest magazine, something about tornado safety and that the safest place to go during a tornado would be in an area with the smallest roof span, preferably a bathroom that was, you know, structurally more fortified. And so I got up and I asked one of the guys who was working there if they had a place to go. And I initially asked if they had a basement. You know, he told me, no, we don't have a basement. We have this area back here in the kitchen we could go. And he led me back there. And of course, we were running at that time. And he showed me this area with stainless steel shelving, pots and pans. And I said, this ain't going to work. So we took off the other way. I said, let's hit the bathroom. We made it to the hallway between the bathrooms, which was probably about a 3x4 foot square area. And I just said, get down and cover your heads. I thought I was on top of my wife. There were, I think, two guys and probably four women in that little group. There were bricks and debris flying right over our head, kind of like a rapid fire, you know. It was like, choo, 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 choo. And these bricks were slamming into the wall. So I kept yelling, keep your head down, cover your head. It took about 2 minutes, and it seemed like a lot longer until it was over. And then there was this dead silence. We got up. The roof had fortunately just kind of slid down on the back of the Pizza Hut, and everything was just wide open to the sky, and it was sunny. I looked down at a lady who was in a white raincoat, which my wife had on, and I assumed it was Janine, and I looked at her, and it wasn't. And so I said, oh, where's my wife? And I jumped up, and she said, I'm okay, I'm down here. And I saw these feet sticking up. She was down in this debris. So a couple of the guys who were there with me helped pull the tables and whatever was on top of her off so she could stand up. She had a cut on the back of her head. It was bleeding probably worse than it actually was. But, you know, at that time we thought it was pretty serious. Janine, you know, when her feet were sticking up in the air during the tornado, had lost one of her shoes. So I took one of my shoes off and gave it to her, and we decided to get out of there and get out of that area and go back home and started walking down Main Street. So here I am with one shoe And Janine has this cut in the back of her head with one of my shoes on and her shoe going down Main Street. But this was pretty typical of what was going on. People were in shock. They're going in all different directions. There were people behind Pista Hut who had escaped and were on their garage roofs, standing in piles of debris. Some of them were yelling out of second-story windows, you know, help me, help me, help me. It was a pretty chaotic situation. Somehow we made it close to the courthouse, and Janine started to kind of panic. She was kind of in shock, so I'll let her explain some of the thoughts that were going through her head.
On our way down West Main Street to the center of town, we had tried to thumb a ride to see if we could get to our house quicker than just walking, because our house was in Pinecrest Gardens. So someone dropped us off behind where the Central Junior High is now. It used to be the old high school, in the tennis courts. From that point, I saw it looked like a World War II had broken out. And I was kind of crying and walking with one of Brian's shoes and the other of my heel shoe, and walking down. And I think the saddest sight that I ever saw was seeing all the neighbors on our street, which is Eden Rock Drive in Pinecrest Gardens, all huddled together at one end of the street, just looking up at the devastation of all the houses of the neighbors and them and theirs. And that was very, very sad. We walked up to our house to see if we can find our dog. We called her name, Ribsy. We kept calling and calling, but we didn't get any answer. So we kind of decided that she probably was taken with a tornado. And her house was a brick ranch house with no basement. So all sides except one, I think, and part half of the front were down. And it was very weird on the inside. Later, when we went back to look for things, my good dishes and glassware, the crystal, were all kept perfectly inside one of the cabinets, but there was devastation all over the rest of the house. We were so blessed and so fortunate.
We were fortunate. And the things we had lost, mostly college textbooks, wedding presents, were maybe not as critical as a person maybe in their 50s or 60s who had raised their family and lost memorabilia from their family. So overall, Janine had the little cut on her head. I actually had to have my ears cleaned out because of the debris that was sucked in. I had terrible ear pressure and terrible ear problems about 2 or 3 weeks after the tornado. So I had to have my ears pumped out. But overall, we came out of it pretty well. You know, our hearts went out to the people who had lost family and, you know, just things they couldn't replace. And our little dog actually turned up within 2 days. Our neighbors across the street, the Wathels, had found her under a wrecked car. So we were happy about that. We gave her a good bath. But it was certainly something we'll never forget. And, you know, we relive it from time to time. But it's hard to believe it's been 40 years.
Brian and Janine Montgomery were interviewed by Tamar Creakey of Greene County Public Library. This is Remembering the Xenia Tornado 40 Years Later. When people tell the story of the April 3rd tornado, it begins with small details of the afternoon, letting the dog out, going for pizza, watching TV after school.
The track indicated by the hook in our radar screen is now moving into the city of Xenia. Persons in the city of Xenia and along the track just south of it, Arrowhead, Xenia, Central State.
On WHIO-TV, the Andy Griffith Show was interrupted by a weatherman with a warning to take cover. Donna Otneal shared her memories of that day with our series producer.
Hi, this is Alan Steiger with the Greene County Public Library, and today we're here with
Donna Otneal.
Where were you at the time of the April 74 tornado?
In my home at Texas Drive.
Was that in the Arrowhead area?
Yes, it was.
And what do you remember about that day?
A whole lot. Uh-huh. We were having supper, had a couple kids from the neighborhood with us, and we were having chili for supper. And my sister called and said, there's a tornado coming to Xenia. And my son and his friend went up on top of the garage roof to see if they could see what was happening, and they saw the thing coming towards us. He said it looked like black smoke, and they ran downstairs, of course, after we yelled at them, get off the roof. And we all went into the family room, which had been made out of the garage, didn't have any windows in it because we thought that'd be the safest place. And it turned out it was very safe because the roof went out behind us, and the sidewall fell down outwards, and nobody got hurt except a little bump on the head and a scratch on an elbow.
How did you prepare the kids for when the storm was going to hit?
There wasn't much time. We just said, we're all going to get in there, we're going to get down the floor, and we're going to cover up our heads, and we're going to pray. Yes, and we all just huddled down there. It didn't take very long at all. I mean, it was amazing how quick it was over. Just, you know how they always say, it sounds like a train? Mm-hmm. Well, it does. It sounded horribly loud, like a train. And the kids were scared, of course. There was all this noise. It sounded like screaming, but it was a roof, nails being ripped out of the roof when things pulling apart. It was very loud.
And how long was it before you guys got up and went outside to see what was going on?
Well, as soon as the noise settled down and we looked up and we could see the sky in the back, you know, and everything, we went out to see what was happening and see what happened to our neighbors.
What damage was done to your home?
Well, the living room, the front picture window had just burst in, and the furniture was some of it was just entirely gone. We got mail from somebody up in North Ohio. They sent back a piece of mail that had fluttered up there. Everything went basically out the back. The bathroom was full of furniture. Everyone had always said, go to your bathroom and get in the tub if we have a tornado. But if we had, we'd have been squashed because we had a big metal. It was a bookcase in the living room, and it went down the hall and into the bathroom and into the tub. And it was really mess in there. Our house was lifted up off the foundation and put back down because we knew that because the telephone receiver was outside. The cord was under the house and it was outside in the front yard. And one of my brothers, a couple of days later, when they come up to try to help us, he picked up the phone and the dial tone was still there and he called somebody on it. And my husband went out looking around to see what we could see about our friends. We couldn't even tell. You couldn't even really tell where you were at because the destruction was so crazy. There was quite a few people died in our plat. I saw one of my neighbor's sons, but I hadn't seen the other, and she was just terrified, but he was all right. My husband's car was all bashed up. He had a Mustang, real fancy thing. He loved that car. It was bright, shiny red, that candy apple red, with big, huge tires, you know, big tires, and those tires were flat. And our little car, we had a little Opel. It was in the backyard, standing on its nose by a telephone pole. My husband and I drove around downtown. And I didn't cry about my house at all, but when I went down to Xenia, I cried all over Xenia because it looked just like a war, like somebody had blown it all up. Yeah, I like Xenia. I love Xenia. I've lived here for a long time, you know, and I'll probably die here. Uh-huh. Yep.
Well, thank you very much, Donna.
Thank you.
Donna Otneal was interviewed by Alan Steiger of the Greene County Public Library. You're listening to Remembering the Xenia Tornado 40 Years Later on WISO Weekend. Following the furious sound and the silence that came afterwards, many looked up to see sky where their roofs had been. Then they began to climb out from under the debris to see what happened. Hundreds of homes were in piles and phone lines had been destroyed. Louise Crawley knew what to do. Her husband was a firefighter with the Fairborn Fire Department, and they both were ham radio operators.
My name is Sharon Benedict, and I'm here on Old Clifton Road interviewing Louise Crawley. What was your involvement with the Xenia tornado?
Well, I was home, and I had heard over the radio there had been a tornado, or it was occurring even at that time. I wondered to myself, what direction is it going to go? Is it going to go toward Yellow Springs? It was, well, what shall I say? Chance, I guess, that I was in on the tornado, watching out my windows, wondering, where is it going? What will I do? Now, my husband is a firefighter in Fairborn. We had, at that time, 2-meter radios. Both Gay and I were ham radio operators, which meant that we could converse back and forth over microphones. His department was called into Xenia to help with whatever they could. Oh, it was apparently a big mess. And I knew exactly what I should do. I gave a call to my husband. I'm not really sure what they found when they got to Xenia, but I do know that there were people frantically trying to find some of their family, some of their friends. Were they all right? Were they okay? And Gay would take their information, and over our ham radio, I would make the telephone calls because my telephone was perfectly fine. Together, Gay and I made many, many telephone calls to absolute strangers. They'd give their telephone number to Gay. He'd relay it to me, and then I would do what was necessary to let them know that I will get in touch with your family, your friends, or whatever. Gay and I were very thankful that we could be of some help to some people when they were just distraught. They didn't know whether their mother was alive. They didn't know whether their children in school were all right. They just didn't know, and they were frantic.
How long do you think you helped making those phone calls?
I was on the radio with Gay 4 to 5 hours because once the firefighters got into Xenia, they were able to speed things up and they were able to answer questions. Well, they were just able to help in so many different ways.
Thank you very much for your interviewing and thank you for helping all of those people.
Well, isn't that what we're supposed to do? If you have the ability, if you have the equipment, and you sit and watch somebody that needs help, but you don't do anything, I don't think God likes that very much. So when the opportunity comes to help a person or people, do it.
Sharon Benedict with the Greene County Public Library speaking with Louise Crawley, Xenia resident, about her experience in the Xenia tornado. Up next, Sharon talks with Neva Brown, who tells us about setting a table in the midst of destruction.
I am here with Neva Brown at Hospitality Homes in Xenia, Ohio. Can you remember what happened on that day?
My husband had just left for work. He was working second shift, and we always had our main meal before he went to work in the afternoon. And I put the dishes to soak in the sink and proceeds to sit down and listen to the radio. They said something about a storm headed for Xenia. So I sat there for a while and listened a little more. And I got up and looked out of the window and I saw this great big black, I cannot describe it. It was huge, headed our way. Well, I just couldn't hardly believe it was a tornado. I'd never seen anything like this. It was unbelievable. My boys, of course, were still in school. He had been out for track practice, and I was worried sick. They had gotten all the boys from the track underneath the stadium, and when they found out what it was, the coaches had the boys all sit along the wall and put their heads down between their legs. Some of them, it was a sight to behold. Some of them clothed, some of them partly clothed, some of them bare naked because they were in the process of taking their showers. But anyway, they all got out of there okay. So the day after, my husband said, by being a truck driver, he said, I know there's no restaurants open and there's going to be a need because of all these truckers that had to haul this debris away. It was a mountain, and they put it over in Fairborn in the quarry over there. He said there'll be a number of drivers. And so he had talked to Bill Wilson, who was the mayor at the time. So he got in touch with the Fair Board, and they gave us permission to use the old dining hall at the fairgrounds. And it saved them time, too, being able to eat here and not have to run all over someplace trying to find someplace to eat. We had people bring donations in. We had one gentleman that used to own a restaurant in Xenia. He brought big containers of meatloaves already made. Oh, he just was such a benefactor for us. The Amish people came with their pies and their cakes and work. Oh, they would work. When we still had the old stove, one little girl got down and scrubbed the oven out. I can just see her yet. She just worked so hard getting that oven because it was terrible. In the beginning, there was many a day that we wore winter coats and boots and stood and fried bacon for breakfast. But after word of mouth come out, of course, then we got lots of donations.
How long did you do this?
Till the 29th of May, the day before Memorial Day. And we was there every day from 6 o'clock till we could get cleaned up in the evening, which would be 7 o'clock. But they were long days, but they were the most rewarding, that I felt like I was doing something worthwhile. We had people come who didn't have homes, and they were so grateful. I've never told my story before, but I've relived it time and time again. The memories of it, the good and the bad. It was a sad time, but we still had a lot of laughs, and I've got a lot of good memories. Oh, it's just unbelievable how Xenia has come back after seeing the disaster. It was just a town that seemed to come together.
That was Neva Brown with her oral history interview for the Greene County Public Library. You've been listening to Remembering the Xenia Tornado 40 Years Later from Community Voices producer Alan Steiger, with audio collected from the Greene County Public Library Oral History Project. I'm Jerry Kenney. This is WISO Weekend. Coming up next, Reinvention Stories. Today on Reinvention Stories, we return to Old North Dayton. Troy Street runs through the center of the neighborhood, and there has been a bakery at Troy and Warner since 1917. Folks who grew up in the neighborhood remember Evans' original bakery for its cream horns and donuts. WISO's Sarah Buckingham has the story of this rebirth of the neighborhood icon.
Bill and Rosemary Evans bought the bakery in 1969. Just a couple of years before their daughter Jennifer was born.
I really liked growing up in Old North Dayton. We lived just two blocks away from the bakery. All of my childhood memories are of the bakery. I mean, we were here all the time. I would get a penny for every box that I made up, and we'd constantly having to make boxes for donuts and things. So that was probably the first task that I ever had, was making boxes. But as I grew up, I worked in the store. I helped my mom decorate. As a kid, I didn't appreciate it at all. I was too stupid to understand how good I had it.
By the time she was a teenager, Jennifer wanted to get as far away from the bakery as possible. She studied civil engineering at the University of Dayton and then went on to grad school at Ohio State, where she met her partner, Matthew Tepper. They started their lives together in Detroit, where they both had jobs in local government. But after 15 years in Detroit, things started to change.
I wasn't happy where I was. Matt wasn't happy where he was. I just started to feel that maybe there's something different that I should be trying.
Meanwhile, Jennifer's parents sold Evan's original bakery. They were ready to retire. And after a few years, the guy who bought the business shut it down.
But my parents still owned the building, all the equipment, and they'd spent most of their lives building this bakery, and they wanted it to be a bakery again. And they were having trouble getting somebody else to come in here. So that's what started me to thinking, maybe this is something that we need to consider.
So Jennifer and her partner decided to revive her family's bakery. They started driving from Detroit to Dayton every weekend to work on the place.
We would work full-time in Detroit. We'd leave on Friday after work, come down here, work all day Saturday, most of Sunday, go home.
They did that for a whole summer. In August 2012, they quit their jobs, moved to Dayton, and started working on the bakery full-time.
My dad was pretty excited. My mom was less so. I think she was a little worried that we wouldn't be able to bring the bakery back. She recognized, probably more than my dad was willing to admit, that this neighborhood had changed a lot. I think she was worried that there wouldn't be enough business to support a bakery here anymore. But I think she's wrong. I think we've proven her wrong.
The neighborhood was anxiously awaiting the bakery's grand reopening.
Old North Dayton actually has a Facebook page, and they had a countdown clock on there, counting down the hours and the minutes and the seconds till we opened. And so, yeah, sure enough, 6 a.m. on December 17th, we had customers waiting outside the door.
You want coffee this morning?
Yeah,
large coffee. Large black, right?
Keep it.
All right.
Have a good day.
You too. We'll see ya.
People come in here and say, oh, are these the original formulas? Yes, they are. Oh, that's good. They want it to be the same. So I would say 95% of the stuff that we sell is what they used to sell before, and it's made the same way that it was made before. We have donuts, every kind of donut that you could possibly imagine. We have Danish. We have bread. We have cakes. We have cookies. We have desserts, you know, so the cream horns, the eclairs, the pétifors, cheesecake. I mean, we're always trying new kinds of things like that.
We'll take three of the glazed right here.
Bill Krim of Troy comes in for the Persian rolls. His first job was here at Evans Bakery back in 1976.
Just kind of a trip back down memory lane, you know, in regards to coming to the old corner bakery where friends and family used to come, as well as the neighborhood used to come and hang out. Everybody talked about whether they were going to get their birthday cake from Evans, and so it's great to see them open back up.
9:35 is your total?
There's been a bakery here since the early 1900s. There needs to be a bakery here. I mean, it says right there on our business card, every neighborhood deserves a good bakery. So this bakery needs to stay open, and we're going to do whatever it takes to keep this bakery open.
1065 is your change, sir.
Thank you very
much.
Thank
you. You have a great day. For WYSO, I'm Sarah Buckingham.
Co-producer for this story was filmmaker Eric Risher. To see their short film with a behind-the-scenes look at Evans Bakery, visit WYSO.org. Major funding for the second season of Reinvention Stories comes from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, with support from Wright State University Celia Fund and the Yellow Springs Community Foundation and Antioch College.
This is Bill Felker with Poor Will's Almanac for the first week of middle spring. Sometimes my religious background gets the better of me. I went to a seminary many, many decades ago, and I was filled with all kinds of liturgical practices. One of those practices that has stayed with me and keeps appearing in my brain is the genre of the litany. Now, the way I learned litanies, the priest would call out the names of saints or different names for the Virgin Mary or Jesus, and the congregation would respond with, "Pray for us." So what's happened to me now is that I still do litanies, but they're a little different. Here's one for middle spring, asking the creatures of the season to be with us on our journey. You golden forsythia and star magnolias, pray for us. You toads and frogs calling in the night, pray for us. All of you pear trees and crab apples straining to flower, pray for us, pray for us. All of you redbuds and hawthorns and dogwoods and maples and plums, pray for us, pray for us. Hepatica, buttercup, daffodils, hyacinths, tulips, wisteria, trout lilies, speedwell, pray for us. Sweet William, lilac, meadow rue, ginger, pray for us, pray for us. Honeysuckle, boxwood, viburnum, and quince, pray for us, graciously hear us. Jack in the pulpit, fleabane and thyme, poppies and pimpernel, sedum and sorrel, pray for us, graciously hear us. And all of you flowers of summer, sprouting and rising beside us, lilies and roses and milkweeds and clovers, iris and hostas and catnips and nettles, pray for us, graciously hear us. This is Bill Felker with Poor Will's Almanac. I'll be back again next week with notes for the second week of middle spring. In the meantime, try a litany of your own. It's sort of like naming the moons. Anybody can do it. Thursday noons, between March 20th and April 24th, I will be the moderator of a seminar at the University of Dayton entitled The Inner Landscape. And these will be discussions about the almanac readings on WISO. For more information, call the Special Programs Office at the University of Dayton, 937-229-2605.
Bill Felker contributes to newspapers nationwide, including the Yellow Springs News. Bill resides in Yellow Springs. Poor Will's Almanac is also available as a podcast at WYSO.org.
That's it for this edition of WYSO Weekend on 91.3 WYSO, Yellow Springs, Dayton, Springfield, and online at WYSO.org, a community service of Antioch College for the Miami Valley and beyond. I'm Jerry Kenney. Thanks for listening. Coming up next on WYSO, The Book Nook.